Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to Kathy Is In with Kathy DeBono.
Welcome, everyone, back to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show. I'm Kathy DeBono. I am here with Becca Cates.
Hi.
And the lovely Jill Bennett.
Hello.
And today in the studio, we have with us Lynn.
Hi, everybody.
I wish sometimes we had visuals here because my mom is so adorable right now and so nervous. In the studio and amongst all the equipment, she's got the headphones on. She's looking at the mic like it might shoot her in the face.
The things you do for your kids.
Close to the mic. Come into the mic. Aw, she's so cute. So anyway, hi, guys. Welcome back. We weren't here last week. We got stuck on the way back from a business trip in Vegas. Yes, we go to Vegas for business.
It's true.
It's not a lie. No.
It's gambling business.
It's hot.
That's
it's crowded.
True.
It has not an ounce of nature in it.
Okay, we did gamble. I'm not going to lie. But we did have a business meeting first.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, while we're there, you know. While in Rome, isn't that what they say?
Yeah, I played blackjack.
When in Rome.
I won $200 on one hand.
That's she did.
Because
awesome.
We did that little thing.
Give yourself a little clapping attack for that one.
I got two queens. I got two queens of hearts, and I won $200.
Two queens of hearts?
Yeah.
I asked her to buy me a Coke, and
in
she
one
said
deck.
No.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a single deck. It was like a...
No, it's like a... What is there, like two or three decks in it?
Three decks, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes more sense.
Yeah, this way you can't count cards,
Ma. I, being a
Ma.
Poker player, knows that there are only one queen of hearts in a deck.
Yes.
Okay.
Not in this deck.
Not in this deck. Okay.
Anyway, so today we thought it would be really fun, since my mom is in town. Jill and I... Yeah, I'm not hearing anything in the headphones either. Are you guys...
It just sounds a little funny.
Feels
it
muffled.
Sounds a little fuzzy. Yeah.
Jill and I have been toying around with a personality test called the Myers-Briggs, Myers-Briggs. You can go take the test right now if you want to. There's a link to it on my website at Kathy Is In on the radio page. It's also up on my Facebook page, CathyDeBono, to find it on Facebook. But here's what the Myers-Briggs is, guys. It's a personality test. It tells you about your personality type. It is not a clinical test. It does not tell you anything about personality disorders or damage or trauma or anything like that. It's not that kind of test. It's not a medical clinical test. It's a personality type test, and we're going to get to it later because Jill and I took it, Becca took it, my mom took it, and we're going to just get into what we found out and how do these personality types interact with each other. It's really, really useful in relationships.
Yes, and friendships.
And friendship, any relationships.
And also job search.
Work relationships, or when you're hiring someone,
right.
It really can tell you where people are best suited for the kinds of jobs they're suited to and stuff like that. And if there's anyone in your life that you're having a hard time connecting with, communicating with, whether it's a relationship, an employee, a boss, a friend, the Myers-Briggs, it'll take you 15 minutes to take the free exam. You can take the longer, more involved one for like $25 or something, but there's the free one that basically gives you your profile. In about 20 minutes, you can get it online. And if you're trying to figure out how to communicate better with a friend or a family member or anything, this really opens up a lot of doors and windows and mirrors. And it lets you really take a look at where you guys might be missing each other.
And if you find yourself really unhappy in a certain type of job, but you think you should love it, there's actually scientific proof behind that there are certain job types that are more suited to certain personality profiles.
Right. So we're going to get to the Myers-Briggs in a minute. We're going to, tell you where it came from and the fundamentals of it. But right now, I just want to have a throwback a minute from 2 weeks ago, you guys, when we were here live. Jill and I had just come back from Germany. We had a lot to say. We had a lot of opinions and feelings and experiences, and we had a lot to say about the aura or the energy of Berlin when we were there and the history of the place. And I'm always talking about our personal histories and our personal ancestry and how our families hand that down to us and how we interact with each other while we're growing up and how important it is to the formation of our personalities and how we see the world and then how we go out and see others. And I really got a slap in the face about how important that is globally and politically too, when we went to Germany and we spent time in Berlin and we could feel the history there of, you know, obviously Germany's been there a long time, but when I think of Germany, like a lot of people, we think of World War II because it was just an epic historical event that happened there, tragedy and murder of gargantuan proportions, and it's not over in terms of the fallout happening energetically in the people. So we talked a lot about that a couple weeks ago. None of it was based on anything but our own opinions and our own experience there and the feelings that we had there. But I have since watched a documentary that I wanted to share with you guys called The Unknown Soldier. I watched it here in the States on Netflix. I don't know where you might find it if you're not in the States, but if you look it up, The Unknown Soldier, it's a documentary made by a German filmmaker, and it gives a little bit of insight into the things we were talking about 2 weeks ago and into the mindsets and emotional worlds of the people in Germany now, you know, dealing with the aftermath of what happened in World War II. Some people are handling it, some people are not, and it's really fascinating. So I wanted to share that documentary with you guys.
It was really good. Actually, I started watching it before you did.
Okay.
I remember. And I was like, honey, you need to watch this based on the conversation we had last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a listener, I think, tweeted it to me.
Yeah.
And so it's, yeah, it's really worth it. It's really worth going to watch. Yeah, we're having a weird sound. Is this, how do you guys, can you guys hear us? I say that as if we can get their feedback.
Right, anyway. Yeah. They can call in and tell us.
Yeah. So also, how are we doing on time for our first segment? Because there's a little short story I wanted to share before we get into...
We have 5 minutes.
All right. Here's a perfect example of history and ancestry and why it's important. And I talk about it a lot because the LGBT community and the way we grew up, we are born into a culture that is not our own. If you've listened to me before at all, you've heard me say this. And how unfortunate it is that other minorities or oppressed cultures are born into their own culture, they're born into their own histories. For instance, African American families or any oppressed culture, you'll be born into that culture. And you will then have your history passed down to you, and your ancestors will share with you their trials, their tribulations, the things they learned, how they might help you, you know, get through it again, if it should happen again, how they can expect the world to greet them. And it's also an instant community. Well, when you're a part of the LGBT community, you're usually not born of an LGBT couple. You're usually born into a culture that has nothing to do with it, and you discover your LGBT part of yourself, usually quite in the dark, maybe confused, scared, depending on where you are in the world or what your family thinks of it or how you think of it. It could be a really scary, difficult, confusing time, and every LGBT person in the world pretty much discovers it alone and by themselves and then doesn't know what to do. Doesn't know how to figure it out. If you're lucky, you're in a supportive family and a supportive part of the world, and you have a much smoother ride of it than others. But there's a lot of people, and if you're not in LA or New York or in most of the world, there's a lot of people who are born LGBT outside of their community into a world of dark, no culture, no ancestry, and we keep starting at zero. That's the whole point of this big spiel-y that I'm getting at, is our ancestry keeps starting at zero. And we have a history. We have people who've done things in the LGBT community. There are idols and people to look up to. There are activists and, you know, King Ludwig II in Bavaria in Germany. He was gay. Look him up. Read about him. Learn about him. He's one of your ancestors if you're LGBT. There's a new documentary out that I think we watched on Netflix called Vito. I mentioned it last time, V-I-T-O. It's about a guy who in the gay community in the 70s really championed for... AIDS patients and gay rights and other gay rights not related to AIDS.
And gays in the movies. He was the one that compiled.
He wrote The Celluloid Closet.
Yes.
So these are your ancestors, and I put it in those terms because I want you to think about it in those terms. And I want to always encourage the LGBT community to find each other. Find your ancestors above you, and LGBT people, when our descendants, quote descendants, the youngsters are looking for help and coming to us, be there for them in any tiny way that you can, whether it's a Facebook conversation or you point them in the direction of their community center or you give them some words of encouragement or you send them to a website like Becca's, like iwanttheworldtoknow.org, which,
thanks.
Honestly, I'm going to give a little shout out. Becca started that before Dan Savage. It gets better.
Yes, she did.
Not that it's a competition. Because
no,
it isn't, really.
But Becca didn't have a nationally syndicated radio show to help shepherd it into an MTV show. Right. But she was first.
She was first. But my point being, whether you're first, second, the biggest, the smallest, every tiny little bit helps. And if every single LGBT person in our community helped a little, a lot would get done. Mm-hmm. So even, Becca, if your website reached one kid who had their perspective changed and gave themselves a little bit of hope, it was worth it.
It was. I know it was, because I got messages from people all over the world. It was very moving.
Yeah. So our the biggest thing that's happened this week, and then I know we're going to have to go to commercial, is our friends, John and Felipe, they took a trip. I'm going to be very vague about the details because we want to protect the minor's identity. But basically, they took a trip. They met a minor who had been kicked out of his home due to LGBT issues. He was 17. He was homeless. And John and Felipe took him in. Huge risk.
Yeah.
Huge risk on their part. They went to the family. They got legal guardianship. They brought him back to L.A. They enrolled him in high school. They're showing him the ropes. Basically, they are being his gay father's ancestors that he obviously was not born to in blood, but born to in spirit. And they are now going to be able to take over for this young guy where his parents couldn't.
Right.
Based on their ignorance, their confusion, their own education level, whatever it was, this kid was going to be homeless, and now he's not. Now he's got two gay dads. He's in L.A.
And he gets to spend his last, you know, his last year of high school, and it was very important to him that he finish high school in high school and not, you know,
GED.
That's what he wanted. And so now he gets to spend it in a much more accepting place with a much more accepting family, and this is walking the walk. I mean, truly.
This is walking the walk. They enrolled him in the high school. They brought him directly to the Gay and Lesbian Center and got him in a support group that was appropriate for him. They're showing him all the resources of the community that he has here. They're going to help support him and feed him and clothe him and give him a place to live while he, you know, through graduation of high school. And then by the time he graduates and turns 18, he'll have a chance. He'll have some roots. And he now has ancestors to help him do that. So if we all help a little, we get a lot done. I have my ancestor in the room with us tonight, today, wherever you are in the world. I guess it depends. And when we come back from commercial, we're going to talk about the Myers-Briggs.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Transformations Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Okay, so we talk a lot about relationships and different issues here, and self-awareness and communication is usually the thing where I spend a lot of time focusing on what we can do better to learn how to communicate better. Well, we all know it's paramount in a relationship to be able to communicate, to be able to relate to others by a process of communication. And there are many processes and mediums to use as communication tools. For instance, there's a conversation, or you can text, or you can read people's body language, you can choose your words, you can use the telephone, you can use an email, you can write a letter, you can send a smoke signal. But basically,
SOS.
Before you can choose any one of these mediums, you need to first choose the language that will effectively get the job done. And that means you want to most accurately cause the understanding of your message in another being. So I want to send you a message. I want you to most accurately understand what I mean, where I'm coming from, what my point is. I first have to choose the right language. So if you're French, I should speak French. If you're deaf, I should use sign language or whatever method you're using. But what if you are an ESTJ and I am an INFP? What happens then? These are two of the personality types of the Myers-Briggs. Now, the Myers-Briggs, what they've done, I'm going to have Jill give you a little bit of history where it came from so you can have some context here. But the Myers-Briggs personality test is basically a test that will give you four letters. And these are four personality
preferences.
Four personality preferences. And you will fall into a category that gives you four letters. So there are 16 types out there. And the four letters are... Well, I'll just have Jill, you go ahead and give the history of it, and then we'll get into the four letters.
Okay.
And then we'll see, tell everybody what we discovered and how they can use this test in their own lives.
Okay. Well, Myers and Briggs were a mother-daughter team, and neither one of them were trained in psychology, but they were familiar with Jung's theory of personality type. And they, around World War II, What they started thinking about was it might be useful for us to have some sort of personality test so that we could better fit men and women into military service, because there are people who are good at being soldiers and there are people who are good at being cooks and people who are good at being secretaries. And these women recognized that if we could do better in the war if we were to place people where they were best suited. So they started studying this, and they ended up coming up with a system based on tens of thousands of interviews that they did with people and how to type them. And Myers in particular, she believed that differences, problems, and misunderstandings between others can be explained very logically. And it's just that we all make different choices in the way that we take in and process information. And when you study these types, you realize that, you know, people can be similar in many, many ways, but how they express and take in information is going to be unique to their personality type. And if you don't speak to someone in their language, they're not going to get it. And once you figure out what your type is, you'll be shocked at how accurately it will describe major components of your personality.
Right. And again, these are types, which means Each category that you fall into, you are some percentage of either an extrovert or an introvert. You are some percentage of either a sensor or an intuitive person. You are some percentage of a thinker or a feeler, and you are some percentage of a judger or a perceiver. No one is 100% of either one of these things.
Right.
We all fall on a scale and a spectrum of these things, first of all. And this quiz will also give you the percentage of which ones you are. So the first level is, are you an extrovert or an introvert? And the first thing I want to really get across about these words that we're using, introvert, extrovert, introvert, sensor, feeler, perceiver, thinker, judger, these words are not the same as they're used in everyday language. They're not the same as you would use in a regular conversation about any other thing.
Right. It's not like a dictionary.
It's not a dictionary.
The Myers-Briggs definition is different than the dictionary.
Right. These are psychological. You have to think of them in the context of psychological terms. So these words have a different meaning in psychology than the different way we use them in everyday language. And you will get four letters. The first one is going to be either an E or an I. That's an extrovert or an introvert. And basically, it describes the different attitudes people use to direct their energy. So don't confuse introversion with shyness, because it's not related.
Right.
It's a different thing here. And basically, it comes down to, how do you like to spend your time? In the outer world of people and things, or in the inner world of ideas and images?
And how they also describe it is, do you get energy from being around groups of people, or do you get your energy by being by yourself? And I know for me, I definitely am an extrovert, because when I'm feeling in need of a recharge, I want to be around people, and I take in their energy, and it recharges me.
Right. So the first letter will indicate where do you place your attention and how do you replenish your energy.
Right.
Right. The second letter is either an S or an N, and that stands for sensor, sensing person, or an intuitive person. And again, it's not the traditional dictionary definitions. What does it say here? More attention to the patterns and possibilities that you see in the information you receive. That's an intuitive person. Or do you pay more attention to the information that comes in through your five senses? So like, you know, hardcore logical, you can point out at information, or do you pay more attention to the patterns and possibilities that you see in that information?
Right.
That's so sensing stops there, and intuitive takes it a little bit further and looks for meaning and patterns in what they're in what they see and feel and
right.
hear. Okay, the third letter is going to be thinking or feeling, so T or F. Are you a thinker or a feeling? Again, do not confuse thinking with intelligence, and do not confuse feeling with emotion. They're different here. So this is about, do you like to put more weight on objective principles and impersonal facts? That's a thinker. Or do you like to put more weight on personal concerns and the people involved with the facts? That's a feeler.
Right.
And the last letter, and then we'll get to the fun stuff where we can reveal what we found out about each other, is judging and perceiving, so J or P. Do you prefer a more structured and decided lifestyle? That's a judger. Or do you prefer a more flexible and adaptable lifestyle? And this is how you orient to your outer world.
Right. And
that's a perceiver.
Like I would say in layman's terms, it's kind of, to me, what it means is, like, when there's a question or a possibility in front of you, do you automatically know the answer to it? And if so, you're probably a judger. If you're the kind of person that wants to think about it and ruminate on it, you're a perceiver.
Right.
That's the layman's definition.
And I'm sure while we talk about these things, we'll keep clarifying and stuff. But anywho, so Jill and I decided to take the Myers-Briggs a while back, just, you know, in the interest of, you know, we were very into nurturing our relationship and figuring out how to learn more about each other. And Jill, you are an ESTJ.
Right.
An extrovert.
Right.
A sensor.
Yes.
A thinker.
Mm-hmm.
A judger.
Right.
I'm an INFP. An introvert. An intuitive. A feeler. A perceiver. No two personality types are farther away from each other on the spectrum of Myers-Briggs personality types than these
two. We are literally polar opposites, and according to Myers-Briggs, we are the farthest apart that any two personality types can be.
It's a very happy home.
It is a happy home. It's different.
It's different.
It's a lot of interesting communication, but deeper communication than other couples would have to have,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, we just sometimes look at each other like we're literally speaking a different language, and we get to a point where we're like, I do not understand why you do not grok where I'm coming from.
Right.
And Jill will have the same feeling, and we will turn to our Myers-Briggs and take a look at our profiles, and it really, like, especially when you're with your intimate partner and you have a sensitive issue going on and you get emotions are in the way, and then you start to get fearful that you're not being misunderstood. There's always a fear reaction deeper down when you need to be understood and you don't feel like you're being understood. And then you can push, and then it can turn into a fight because things can unravel quickly when emotion gets involved. But when you can turn to the Myers-Briggs and open up that personality profile and remember, oh, this is one of those times where it's like I'm speaking French,
mm-hmm.
but Jill speaks Italian.
Right.
And we have to remember that and turn back to that. And it's really a great touchstone. So we wanted to share that with everybody because it's such a great tool. It's one of those things to have in your back pocket when you've kind of lost track and lost your way.
You'll definitely have an aha moment when you read either your own profile, your partner's profile, a friend's profile, anybody. You'll have an aha moment and you'll think of a time when you had a misunderstanding or even an argument with this person, and you'll look at it through their perspective and you'll go, oh, I get it now.
That's why
I get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. For me, it was a huge, you know, it opened my eyes once again. And especially knowing how different we are, we have to be very cognizant to remember how the other person communicates.
Yes. And to take a minute to you know, get clear in your mind of what is it that you want to communicate? What is the message that you want that person to receive? Rather than what do I want to say and how do I want to say it?
Right.
First stop and think, what is the message I want them to receive? And then think about their language and how to approach it that way. I think it's been a great tool because it also sort of impersonalizes it a little bit, which takes the emotion out of it, and it takes maybe some hurt feelings out of it.
The edge.
Gives you a little space.
As it turns out, based on their tens of thousands of people and studies, and they studied married people, most married people have at least two preferences in common. Most. There are less than 5% have none in common. It's very rare. But those that don't have any in common, often they say that they learned how to communicate with their partner in order to make it work. They had to learn to literally speak another language, and it was able, you know, they were able to make it work, but it's just more challenging.
Yes. I wonder if there'll be an app for that sometime soon.
There should be. Like, here's what I want to say, and then it'll translate it to your partner's...
Put it into your iPhone, yeah. I'll put in the I'll speak an INFP language and then translate it to ESTJ and just text it to you.
That would be...
That sounds like a great
relationship. Oh, my gosh. I think
we're on to something here, folks.
I think we can make a lot of money.
Any programmers out there that want to take this on? So we're close. We need a commercial break here.
Yeah,
all right.
When we
come back, and we only have a very brief time, when we come back, we're going to breeze through our personality types and what my mom's personality type was and why I've come to realize she was the perfect personality match type to have an ADHD kid like me.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly Project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Welcome back, y'all.
Y'all.
Y'all. Suddenly, I'm Southern.
That wasn't that funny.
Your timing is so bad with that button.
Okay, but normally I'm pretty good.
You make the joke. Your timing's good.
Your timing's perfect on your own.
Thank you.
Joke.
All right.
Yeah.
Moving on.
This staticky headset is making me insane.
It's making us all a little crazy.
Yeah.
That's okay. They can't hear it.
For crying out. Freaking what? Okay, so my mom came to town. Ma, say hi. Come on.
Hi.
She's so shy. Now, here's what's funny, and here's why the dictionary terms are totally wrong. My mom is super shy, but her Myers-Briggs came out extrovert. I'm not super shy. Mine came out introvert. So that shows you right there that it's not about shyness, and it's not about the basic Webster dictionary things. It's about something else. So, Ma, you look frightened to death. Do you want me to just let you leave?
No,
do not
believe.
So we did these personality tests the other night, and we were reading my mom's, and it occurred to me as we were reading it out loud, you were the perfect personality type to raise an ADHD kid.
Lots of patience.
Lots of patience. And here's also what's ironic, and we can share with the viewers out there, you are only one letter off from Jill's personality type.
God bless
Freudian.
Her. That's all I have.
Oh, really? Jill is ESTJ. You are ESFJ. And I've always said this to Jill. It is uncanny to me and a very Freudian choice on my part that the person I'm going to marry has a lot of character traits and fundamental values just like my mother, except for one area where you, Mom, are a smushball feely person, and you'll, like, you know, I come home and you cry, and, like, you're a feeler.
I'm Jill's Italian. A thinker. I'm Italian.
You're Italian. Yeah. And Jill's a thinker, and I've always said this, that that's the one place where you're different, and that's exactly where your personality types turned up.
Right. But for an ADD kid, having a, because Lynn's type is an ESFJ, an extrovert sensing, feeling, judging. And they're very organized, dependable, responsible.
Their title is the caregiver.
The caregiver. They like security and stability, but being a feeler, they're very warm. So, you know, Kathy.
All the other letters indicate very like structured,
right,
organized, focused on taking care of practical things and taking care of others. And the place where I think saved me with you is that you are a feeler and not a thinker, because as an ADHD kid, I know that those were never my strong suits and you had to deal with me on a daily basis, but I never felt unloved or shamed. I mean, you'd yell at me and lose your patience and stuff, but I always knew you loved me, and I think it's because that feeling part of you was in play.
Well, you don't stop loving your child just because she's ADHD and jumping all over the place and making you nuts.
What was the story that you have to
guide them?
Well, not that any parents actually stop loving their kid, but the kid can grow up feeling unloved because they drove everybody crazy around them. And I didn't. I didn't grow up feeling unloved because I think you have that very compassionate part of you. You were able to laugh at a lot of my ADHD stuff.
Yeah, for example, you told a story about, what was it, how she jumped through a screen door?
Oh, Lord. You just never knew what she was going to do. She was just hyper all the time and made some little decisions that were a little off, but you laughed about it.
You
would laugh. You have to laugh and say, oh, Lord, let's fix this.
I mean, after dinner, I'd get up and do somersaults around the table while you guys were
just very, very active, constantly.
Right.
Constantly. And when she was younger, like 5 years old or whatever, she would make these decisions, like to run away out the back door and go sit on the rock in front of the house and decide, well, I'm running away now because I didn't get what I wanted, whatever that might have been at the time. And she sat there for a while. Of course, I'm watching from the window. In those days, you could let your child sit on the rock in front of the house. No one was going to come and snatch them. Anyway, before long, here comes her little face around to the back door, and she's looking in the window, and I said, yes, can I help you? And she said, can I eat my spaghetti before I run away?
Hey, I wasn't stupid. There was good food in there.
I
don't know what you did to piss me off where I had to decide to run away, but I'm sure it was valid.
I don't remember that.
I remember looking back, obviously at the time I just knew I was a kid and I would bounce off, but we'd take me shopping, I'd hide under the clothes.
If you took her shopping, you had to tell her, okay, for instance, we're going shopping to buy shoes. You need shoes, okay? So you walk into the department store. You were not allowed to stop and look at anything else but shoes because we just came for shoes. Why do we have to look at coats? I'm not looking at hats. I want shoes. That's what we came for.
Well, shopping was supremely boring for me as a kid.
And then, before you know it, she was under the clothing racks, and you couldn't find her.
Now, that was the fun part.
So I very rarely took her, only if I had no choice.
But I remember you having to chase me down and find me and stuff like that, and you'd be frustrated, but you'd be laughing. You know what I mean? Like, you sort of...
I knew it was a bad idea to take you in the
first
place.
You could find the joy in it, and I think that's what I'm trying to say in terms of why you'd make the perfect personality match for an ADHD kid, because I could see that getting really frustrating and wanting to, like, just tie that kid up and put him in a closet, whereas you were able to not only keep track of me, organize my life, and make sure I didn't kill myself, but you didn't make me feel like you'd rather get rid of me. And I know a lot of ADHD kids feel like their parents don't want them. Nobody wants them around. And I never felt like that.
No, that was never... I mean, I never had that thought process. It was not an option. You were mine. I love you. This is who you are. Deal with it. And I did.
Do you remember sometimes...
I tried to guide you into making the proper choices as you went along and giving you the freedom to be who you were, or join every club you wanted to join, play every sport
you did.
You wanted to play.
You did do that.
And a lot of that, I think, developed into who you are. Mm-hmm. Did you drive me a little nuts? Yes.
A lot nuts. But that's Kathy's personality type requires freedom. and they're dreamers.
Freedom with guidance.
Yeah, well, they need the guidance.
They don't have any for themselves. They don't realize what they should not be doing.
I don't want to say they don't think ahead to consequences, but a typical, like a judger, looks down the line and can anticipate problems that might come up. Whereas feelers and intuitives and perceivers, they want to think about the possibilities. They don't think about what could go wrong. So you need, that's why they complement each other.
Well, I would beg to differ, because I do think about what can go wrong. I also think about the possibilities. I don't identify.
Now as an adult, though. Now as an adult, as a young child.
Well, no young child knows how to do that, I think. But it isn't that the judging for the pitfalls aren't there, I think. I think it's that I want to assess for all possibilities and then take the pitfalls and fix them. It's not mm-hmm. as though I want to run in. Sometimes I think we'll talk about something, and you being a judge or me being a perceiver, I'll have some idea. You'll go straight to the pitfalls and why it won't work. But I want to go to the pitfalls later,
right,
after we talk about all the possibilities. Then let's get to the pitfalls and figure out how to solve them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and again, and by the way, the one thing that we didn't mention is these different letters, just adding them together doesn't create your personality profile. It's how they affect each other that makes things different. So an ENTJ is very different from an INTJ. It's how they affect one another that makes the difference in your profile. So it's not just simply adding the letters together. There's
no.
a difference depending on...
They're interconnected.
One
affects the other. It's very fluid, as with our human nature. And we've talked about this before, body, mind, soul. They are all interconnected. They cannot be separated. You cannot focus on one without affecting the other. You can dissociate from one, but it's still there and it's still being affected.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I mean, I wonder, you know, like obviously you don't have, you know, Tony, Kathy's father and Lynn's husband's profile, but they had a very happy marriage and, you know, everyone always wants to know, whenever anybody has a long-standing happy marriage...
What's the key?
Well, you kind of learn each other's personalities as time goes along. You don't know that going in. You know,
right.
It's a gamble going in like anything else. I don't say marry the first person that's walking down the street because they're cute, and then figure it out.
That's kind of what you did, though. Didn't you pick Daddy out when you were 12?
Well, he was... Damn cute. But that was also 1960. So mm-hmm. Anyhow, we had basically the same backgrounds, the same heritage, all that. And back then, you know, it made life easier. We understood each other family-wise and whatnot. Were we different? Yes. Extremely different. However, we learned each other's likes, dislikes, what was acceptable, what wasn't acceptable. And you have to compromise. You have to compromise. You can't just have it your way all the time. That doesn't work. You know, it really just does not. So I guess that's what it was. You know, and I miss him terribly. And
what do you think? Do you think he would be an introvert or an extrovert? Oh, an introvert for sure. That's Daddy.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was very, very affectionate and feelings? Was it you were talking about?
He's a feeler.
He's more of a feeler.
I think he's more like me. I think he was ADD if you look back, and nobody was going to diagnose him at that time, but I think if you look back at Daddy, he was ADD.
You are a lot like he was. A lot like he was. You have a lot of traits of his.
Yeah. Now, Becca and I share a lot of the same traits in our personality, a lot of the same letters, I should say. I and F is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I go to perceiving, where Becca goes to judging.
Yes, that's true.
That is true.
And I think it's pretty, I think the description of the INFJ, which is what I am, is pretty on target.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Do you guys want to take these? Oh, sorry, I thought you were done.
No,
yeah?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to take these tests, go to kathyisin.com, go to the radio page. There's a link there to the Myers-Briggs. You can take it 15 minutes, know what your profile is. Have your partner take it. Have that person that you are bickering with take it. Have that person at work that you don't quite know how to communicate with take it.
And then read it to each other.
Yes.
To each other out loud and let the other person comment on it. Maybe think back to a time when this very issue came up and how you each dealt with it in your own way. And I think you'll see, you know, you'll start to understand a little bit how your partner or your friend operates on a different level.
We're all very different. And what's not different is our core. If we can just figure out how to reach each other's core with our communication, we'll have much happier.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly Project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Transformation Talk Radio.
God, we got Ronan to come in here and fix that
static.
That was static.
Woo!
That was very distracting.
No, it was not. Lynn just said it was her fault. It was not your fault. You did not
set
up the microphone.
It was your mic, Lynn, but it wasn't your fault.
You know what I have stuck in my head?
What?
That stupid song Becca Cates has been singing through the house for the last 2 days.
Okay, let's not do it. I don't want to do it.
Do it, Becca.
That would be copyright issues, but let's just say...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
It's some sort of...
I want to talk about...
It's a Filet-O-Fish song.
In line with my type, I'm trying to keep things organized and moving along.
Yes, you're a buzzkill.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. So basically, we all did our tests, and we want to give a little very, very
Let's
brief overview of everybody here. So Kathy is an INFP. They only make up about 4.4% of the population, so they're not a very common personality type. They label them as the idealists. That is very true.
So true.
So far, so good.
INFPs are focused on making the world a better place.
Aww.
Their primary goal is to find their meaning in life, which I would say is definitely, that's Kathy, I would say, in
a
nutshell.
I think it was Socrates. Socrates, I'm kidding, that's a joke.
Socrates, yeah.
Socrates, who said an unexamined life is not worth living.
Yes.
I heard that as a child.
So profound.
When you hear it as like an 8 or 9 year old kid and you go, I so agree. That's, you know, it's ingrained in there somewhere. Anyway, go on, honey.
Well, they're good listeners. They put people at ease. This is all very true.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about an INFP, and if you're recognizing this in your partner, it might be true that they could be this type.
I hear a difficult one coming.
No. This is not a bad thing. In conflict situations, they place little importance on who is right and who is wrong.
True.
They focus on the way that the conflict makes them feel.
Oh, yeah.
So that is something I would say is definitely true of you.
Yeah.
If right and wrong doesn't matter. If you feel bad about something, who cares? Who cares?
I want us to be able to argue about stuff or disagree about stuff without hurting each other's feelings.
Right.
So like when we get wrapped up in something, like, you know, every couple does from time to time, and we get wrapped up in something and something comes out wrong and feelings start getting hurt, I then shift into... Wait a second. Now that's the issue.
Let's talk about that and not talk about the issue, which for my personality type is completely alien and almost impossible to do.
And so you'll constantly hear me say, it's not about the content.
And
it's
about the content.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't care about your shoes anymore.
Right.
So, yes.
Well, that's a difference in our type.
Well, it happens.
Very difficult for them to deal with impersonal judgment. That is very, very true.
By that, impersonal judgment means taking a person's and humanistic feelings out of it and just judging a situation without the humanistic part of it.
Right, which is what I do constantly.
I find that very difficult.
I know.
I think it's, I think the humanistic part of life and the world is the most important part. That's my perspective.
Right. And as such, you appear frequently in social service professions such as counseling or therapy.
Yeah.
So you are completely suited to your personality type.
I'm a predictable open book, apparently.
You are.
Yeah.
Okay, my personality type is an ESTJ. We're known as the guardians. They live in the present, their eyes scanning their personal environment to make sure that everything is running smoothly and systematically.
Yep.
They like competence and efficiency. They're take-charge people. Extremely talented at devising systems and plans for action.
Absolutely.
And being able to see what steps need to be taken to complete a task.
See, if I choose a person like you as my life partner, I get to dream.
And then I make it happen.
And you...
And she gets to plan
and
it.
And you get to organize.
Right. We're extremely straightforward and honest, but we unknowingly hurt people's feelings by applying logic and reason to situations which demand emotional sensitivity.
True.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that is absolutely true.
Yes.
I know that I do this all the time. I will say stuff, and people will look at me, and I'm like, it's not personal.
It's devoid.
Right.
What it is devoid of the humanistic element.
Right.
Right.
And but I own it. And I have to say, as I've gotten older, I'm starting to recognize now when I'm rubbing people that way, and I have to go out of my way to be like, it's not about you. It's not personal. It's this. This is just like a judging person tends to make their opinions very clear, and the way that they present them, it comes across as it's personal to that person, and it rarely is.
See, now here's where you differ from my mom. When my mom is a judger, but my mom is a feeling judger, where you're a thinking judger.
Right.
So you're very hardcore in the logic and the facts.
Right.
And my mom is an extrovert feeling judger, sensor. So she's hardcore in the facts and the organization of a thing, but she does not abandon the humanistic element.
Right. She'll always take into account how that person will take it in before she says something.
Right. Which is where I find her to be the perfect mom for an ADHD kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. That is very true.
I did my best.
You did great because I love you. You
know, but I must have that kind of personality because, as you all know, I work in my little chiropractic office.
Everybody does.
And
know.
Many of our patients that come in, they end up standing at my desk and never leaving. And
are they listening to you today on the show, Ma? Because
they're nice people. But my great boss, John, is like, we should put a shingle out and maybe we can make some more money because... Uh-huh. They just want to tell me all their problems, and I care for them, and I feel badly, and I try to give them advice, whether it's right or wrong. I don't know.
And when that element is present, the caring element is present, people feel it because it's genuine, and they
and
crave it.
I am realizing it now that I have to, like, try to get up and say, okay, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Maybe you need a good pair of sunglasses.
Do, you know, something in another room or something like that, because they will just stay there.
But they feel, but Lynn, you put out warmth and you have that caretaker about you, and it makes people want to talk to you. I mean, I'm the same. You're very, like, you know, you already feel like my mother to me. Like, I've immediately felt comfortable with you, and you're very nurturing, you know, and that's rare. This is your personality type is also sort of rare. So it's hard to find an extremely organized, logical person who is at the same time
who takes
warm.
Takes care of others in a practical way.
Right.
Like when you're a sick person, there's no one in my life who's ever been the best person to be around other than my mom.
Right.
Now, some moms are great caretakers that way. Some aren't. You had like mom instincts from a mile away. If I was a little kid and I was sick and I go to the bathroom and I was throwing up, you were in there before I was going, all right, I'm here to hold your hair. I mean...
Well, that's
amazing.
Mom, yeah, you sense, you know, I can tell if something's wrong. I can, to this day, if I'm speaking to you on the phone, I can tell by the tone of your voice if something's going on, if you need attention. You know, okay, what is it? Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, and there's always something.
That's what a mom says. Well, Becca happens to be the most rare of personality types.
We'll
talk about that next week. We can talk about that next week because, strangely enough, our good friend Dougal Fraser is also this personality type, as is Kathy's older sister, Daria.
So basically, I'm a psychic.
It has nothing to do with psychic.
So basically, I'm a psychic, says Becca. Well, we'll talk about that next week.
You are listening on LA Talk Radio. This is where we say goodbye for now. If you're listening on CBS New Sky Radio or basically anywhere else, stay tuned. We have some music from the lovely Wendy Parr coming up for you. She was a guest back in February, and she was a hoot.
Pay up. They made it through another one.
Double or nothing next week, Sue.
You're on.
Listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono right here on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Kathy is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to kathyisin.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
Here to stay, here to stay. So
psychotherapist and coming out specialist, Kathy DeBono, is now available to provide the counseling and coming out support that you need to take this vital and necessary step. Kathy now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or communicate through an email exchange. With Kathy's help, you will thoroughly examine your unique life circumstances and create a plan that is tailor-made for you. For more information, go to KathyIsIn.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
We're living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.